Morning. Yesterday, when I was here working, all of a sudden, when I'm down there sweating to death on the soccer field, spraying lines to the soccer field and the volleyball field and the softball field, just before it started to rain, I was inspired. And I was inspired to the point that I felt that maybe I had something to offer today at church and speak to you guys. So I went home and I was thinking about it. And I don't know, what time was it? 7 o'clock last night, Jess? I gave you a call and I said, Jess, I think I'd like to speak at church tomorrow. And you have the most trusting pastor in the world to say, okay, not knowing what I was going to talk about and have no clue at all. So I give you credit and thank you very much for that. I don't know, maybe it was just that he was worn down a little bit from all the heat and work yesterday. But as I was there thinking, I was very anxious. I was very anxious because I was here working and I felt that I should be at home working. I have a big deadline tomorrow for project. And I'm thinking all about my project and how I'm going to get all this paperwork done and this permit in and everything. It's one of my biggest clients and they're being pushed. There's a project that's being pushed by the governor and they need to get the paperwork in tomorrow. And I'm thinking, here I am down here spraying lines and I should be at home working on this. I felt very, very anxious about that. But then all of a sudden, I thought of this verse, and it's Philippians 4:6. You've all probably heard it before, probably read it. Maybe you haven't thought about the significance of it, but in Philippians verse 4:6, they say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. A lot of meaning in that verse. That took away my anxiety. I went home and I thought, you know, it was a benefit for me to come here today or yesterday and to be with people, to have fellowship, to work together for a very good cause. And that very good cause is Kids Camp. When I had the opportunity to talk to Chris, I haven't really talked to Chris much since, you know, I joined the church, you know, 2 years ago. I got to work and interact with other people that I've known. Sue and Sandy had an excellent lunch. Those of you that weren't here missed out on great chicken tenders and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn. I mean, it was an excellent lunch. And, you know, I thought about all of that and I came up with the idea. Jess asked me last night, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, I think I'd like to talk about commitment. That's a pretty strange topic to talk about it in church. Well, I don't think so. In our lives, we all have priorities. What are they? Well, yesterday, my priorities were work. I'm thinking, I'm under the gun. My client's going to be really upset with me if I don't have this on his desk first thing tomorrow morning. My priority was work. Maybe our priority is family. We want to spend time with our families and we want to do things for our families and we put those things first. And then, well, I wasn't going to come to church today. God was a priority. He wasn't a priority because I was anxious about my work. So God was my third priority. What's wrong with that? Anybody see anything wrong with that? That there's definitely something wrong with that. It's completely reversed, completely backward in the way things should be. God should always be first in our lives, then family and friends and work, last of all. Sure, work gives us maybe a false security or happiness, but making that our priority doesn't give us the true joy and happiness that we have in life if we put God first in our lives. This past week, many things have happened around the world, and it was actually pretty exciting. We live in the greatest country in the world. And our country was founded by our forefather on the basis of God and country. Isn't that ironic? We're the greatest country in the world, and we're founded on the basis of God and country. Our forefathers put God first. Do we put God first? Are we committed to putting God first in our lives? And because God was first in the founding of our country, that is why we're the greatest country in the world. Because God oversees us and helps us win those battles. In Psalms 37:5, they say, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act." Wow. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Commit to God first, and you will have all things. Pretty strong, isn't it? Do we follow that as the guidance for our life? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will give us everything that we need if we commit to him. In Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." What does that mean? Think about that. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." We as Christians are lucky because we have committed our lives to God. And because we have committed our lives to God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, we can act through the Holy Spirit and commit to walking the way of Christ and bringing other people to Christ that may not yet have found it. What is the significance of the Holy Spirit being in us and guiding us and being the structure for everything that we do in life? Well, Jess, in your sermon last week, you went into Galatians and explained to us what the Holy Spirit is and what it is. And I'd like to review that. In Galatians 5:20, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Wow. I want to be led by the Spirit because then I have no law. I can do whatever I want. That's pretty good, isn't it? There's no rules. There's no regulations. You know, you're not guided. There's nothing that's going to oversee you. But then it goes on to tell you in Galatians 5:21, now the works of flesh are evident. These are some of the things that we encounter as challenges in our everyday life. One of them could be work. One of them could be avoiding coming to church. But they go on to explain the works of the flesh as being evident as idolatry, sorcery, enmity. I didn't bang that. I don't know what enmity is. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. Those things that take us away from God, the works of the flesh, the things that we always find an excuse. Ah, I wasn't going to come to church today because I was too busy. I had a job. I had work to do. But it's only 1 hour. 1 hour of the week to commit to coming to God. I was anxious yesterday about coming here and spending the day helping to prepare for one of the greatest missions, kids camp. And that's the mission here of this church. To take the day out. Besides work, I have 3 flats of flour sitting at home waiting to be put in. I have 8 bags of mulch to be used. I have all kinds of equipment that needs repairs. But I found that by coming here yesterday, I gained peace. That anxiety was taken away. I spent time with fellow Christians working together for a good cause. Kids camp. And then if you go on into Galatians in 5:22, what do we get from the Spirit? What do we get from the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, we work through the Holy Spirit, and he gives us, or she gives us, I guess to be proper, the guidelines for life, the fruit. If we work through the Holy Spirit, we gain love, joy, and peace. We gain patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against all of these guidelines, there are no laws. Nobody's going to say that you can't have love or show love, or nobody's going to say that you can't have joy and peace. Now, think about that. You know, I was in scouting for years. And in scouting, you had the 12 points of the scout law: trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And at the age of 65, I still remember those from when I was 12 years old. And growing up as a Catholic, you know, I used those. I didn't have the fruits to use as guidelines. You know, and I used those 12 points of the scout law as my guideline. Am I a trustworthy person? Am I loyal? Am I helpful? Am I friendly? Am I courteous, kind? You know, and if I found that I lived my life according to those 12 points, that I was actually, I guess in my own mind, a pretty good person. Now let's flip the coin a little bit and let's look at the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. How does that apply to us? You know, if we apply that to our family lives, to our lives with our friends, you know, interactions with others that are not Christian in our faith, how does that apply? Well, if we show joy and we interact with others, our family members, and we're close with our family members, and show them love, what do we get back? We get joy. We get peace. It helps us gain patience in those troubled times when things aren't always good. And I think we all know that in life, times aren't always good. There are good times and there are bad times. But through the Holy Spirit and those nine fruits that he gives us, or that she gives us, we are able to gain love and joy and peace, self-control in times when we want to go back to the ways of the flesh. You know, to be envious of someone else because they have something that we want, but we can't have, maybe because we can't afford it, or maybe because we shouldn't have it. But it gives us that self-control, and that is so important, and we need to use that. We have to commit to those nine fruits in order to live a solid life and walk in the way of Christ. By living according to the nine fruits, we are also called, as one of our challenges, as disciples. We are disciples of the Lord, and through the Holy Spirit, we use those fruits, and we are a guide. We are a mentor. We are a model for others that haven't enjoyed or experienced the pleasure from gaining the fruit through the Holy Spirit. As disciples, we are called. It's a calling. And Jess has guided me, and it helped me to understand the importance of true discipleship, to commit to being a disciple. And if we commit as disciples, each and every one of us here in this room commits to being a disciple, to being a mentor, to acting the act, walking the walk, talking the talk, Do you know and have realized how many individuals you're going to influence? We don't have to evangelize. I don't have to stand up here and praise the Lord or do anything like that. But just by walking among others, they'll notice that there's a difference. And what is the difference? The difference is we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we are living our lives according to the guidance of God in Christ. And by doing that, we will, whether we want to or not, positively influence those that we come in touch with. Think of that great commitment, the great joy that you may not experience or realize that you're experiencing just by helping someone, by saying to them, have a good day, or God bless you. And the people look at you like you're crazy. But you know, when they look at you like they're crazy, you've actually contacted them. You have committed yourself to saying, God bless you, have a great day. And that person, if they walk away and shaking their head like you're crazy, you've touched them. You've touched them because they're thinking, what is this person? They're nuts. But they're not. You know, inside their mind, they're mixing it up and trying to admit that they don't feel that way. You know, as a disciple, we have to commit our lives to the proper action. And in the sermon last month or last week, Jess mentioned, in a very troubled time in his life, with his beautiful wife, Marcy, was sick. I think he said that she had stage 4 cancer. She was overcoming stage 4 cancer. I want to talk about a commitment and a true disciple. Jess felt the calling to leave Mark. He asked her to go and reach those people in the jungle, to go away. And Marcy acted as a true disciple. In response, he said, Jess, go. I'll be okay. I'll be here when you come back. More important that you go and try to reach out and bring more people to God through your actions as a true disciple. Now, that's a true commitment. How many of us, I know it would be very difficult for me to walk away, say, see you later. Walk away from my family. Walk away from my career that I've built over the last 35, 40 years. And say, nope, I'm going to be a disciple for God, for Christ. And to go out and reach individuals that don't know what they're missing. That is a true commitment. Probably the greatest verse in the Bible. And we all hear it over and over again, is John 3:16. Talk about a commitment. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. So those who believe in him shall not perish and have eternal happiness in heaven. Talk about a commitment. God gave his only son. And there are many other examples in the Bible of prophets that gave their son or gave their lives or gave their families away for God. True commitment. Take a minute and think about yourself. What would you give up for God? Would you give up your home, walk away from it? Jesus came to the disciples and said, follow me. Give up your family. Say goodbye. Probably never see them again. Wow. That's pretty tough. You know, we have all tough times in our lives and people come and people go. But imagine, I'm going to give up my family. You're going to give up your home that you worked for your entire life. Everything, all of your material possessions, everything that you have in your life, you're going to give up and walk away for God. To be a true disciple. Now, we're asking as a commitment just to commit yourself to being a disciple and commit to the mission of our church, primary mission, reach out, be a disciple for kids camp. We're asking you to do that. And that's one of the greatest opportunities each and every one of us will have to be a disciple. If you think about it, Jess always talks about, in a very positive and a very good way, how many people do you run into that have went to kids camp 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and were positively influenced? Not one child that comes to kids camp walks away not being saved, not committing his life to Jesus. Pretty special. And you as a disciple, wouldn't you like to be part of that? Don't you want to be part of that? Maybe some of us have been touched by kids camp as adults. You know, maybe we came to kids camp and we found that, you know, we really weren't part of God's plan. We were on the outside. We were missing out. And by seeing those kids being changed and by interacting in the fellowship of kids camp, we then became recommitted to God. And we strengthen ourselves so that we can then continue to be true disciples through kids camp. Amazing thing. An amazing thing. I go and I meet a lot of people. And it's very interesting. I brag about kids camp. And they look at me like, it's a summer camp. Now, kids go to camp for a week. Big deal. What are you so excited about? You know, the kids go to kids camp. I said, yeah, but when they go to kids camp, it's a summer camp. They have fun. They play soccer. They go fishing. You know, they do all the things that most kids do at summer camp. But the one thing that they do at kids camp is they learn the importance of God in their lives. We're talking kids that are 5 years old, all the way up to 16, 17. Plus the adults and the staffers that work at camp, they're renewed, they're revitalized, they're recommitted to God through kids camp. We all need to be part of that. We are a congregation. That's a fancy name, isn't it? We're members. I think when I was here last time, or when I spoke last time, I likened coming to church here at Christian Covenant Community as going to brunch. And that's pretty much what it is. You know, you're coming here, you're having brunch with God. You're enjoying fellowship. You're enjoying maybe a snack afterwards. If there's potato chips, I don't think there are any more potato chips. There's potato chips back there. We can have brunch chips. So take some potato chips with you. But all of those things, you know, are important, that commitment. We are a congregation. What does that mean? We're a team. Okay, we're a team. How many people have been a part of a team before? Quite a few of us. I played soccer for 14 years. I started at the age of 14, and I finally quit, well, my body quit, at the age of 28. At that time, I was playing on two different teams all over the state, four times a week as far as games. My body said, you can't do that anymore. But okay, I can't do that anymore. But the one thing that I learned as being part of the team, and you've all probably heard this before, is that there's no I in team. Okay, there's no I in team. In order to be a winning team, you have to work together as a congregation, as members, all as one. Okay? I could have been the best. Well, I was a sweeper back, if you know what that is. I was the last guy before the goalie. I could have been the best. Who said? In my mind, I thought I could be the best. But on my own, I couldn't do a thing. I didn't have my two wing backs on the other side and a goalie behind me. They're going to score all the goals in the world. Okay? I had to work together as a team. And that's really important. And I just heard last week you know, it's exciting. I mean, I can talk about soccer a little bit, but it's exciting. So the World Cup's going to be held in the United States next year. That's a big deal. You know, we call it soccer. The rest of the world calls it football. You know, but you got to get your verbiage or worded straight. So that's a big deal. And they were interviewing the men's national coach. Now, he has coached teams, World Cup teams, three or four different ones all over the world, successfully. And they asked him, what is your team going to need in order to make a good showing or even possibly win the World Cup? And he summed it up in one word. That word is passion. He said, our players have to have passion. They have to be committed to the end goal of being successful in the World Cup, making a good showing, and even possibly being the world champion. That's something. Well, we as disciples, we are all members of a team. I don't see them here. I see a couple, but I see the kids camp, Jonestown, PA. That's your jersey. Think about it. You're walking out. If I'm on a World Cup team and I'm walking down the street, I have a World Cup jersey on it. My name's on the back of it. People are going to say, "Oh, he's a world class soccer player." Well, people that wear that T-shirt, kids camp, Jonestown, PA. And you're walking through town, you're a disciple, you're a winner, you're making contact. People are saying, wow, look, he's a disciple, he's part of the A team, the team here at Christian Covenant Community. He's committed to God, or she's committed to God, and they are willing to take the time to bring others to Christ through helping and working at kids camp. In 1 Peter chapter or verse 4:10, Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Well, that's a really long-winded way to say God has given each and every one of us a gift. Our gift may be handing out paper plates in the line at the in the food line. Our gift may be weed whacking around one of the buildings. Our gift may be just being around to talk to the youth that are attending, to be a support. Like Jess said, there's kids coming from all over the place. They're leaving their family. Some of them are going to be afraid. Some of them are going to be scared. Why not be a mentor? Why not be a disciple? Just come and sit and talk to them. Make them feel comfortable. I mean, I think all of us know what it's like to be afraid. How would you feel? I come here and I may not know someone. I may not know anyone. And I'm sitting here and trying to be peaceful and to try to stay at camp. But at the same time, all I want to do is I'm going home. Just use your God-given talent and talk to that person. Make them feel comfortable. Be a part-time stepmom or a stepdad or a stepbrother or a stepsister and talk to them. Make them feel comfortable. There are lots of things, and Jess went over them. A whole list of things that we're going to have with need for individuals to help out with. You know, fishing, archery, BB gun. You may not know anything about a BB gun, but there's also counselors here that help, and it's just you need the people to come and to help. And that's what we're asking you to be committed to. Commit your time. Don't be anxious like I was yesterday saying, I can't give time because I have something else to do. We want to be part of the team, part of the congregation. And we want to be able to reach out and touch others. One thing I want to point out is I don't want you, I'm a procrastinator. I waited until 7 o'clock last night to call Jess and say, Jess, I was inspired today and I'd like to talk tomorrow at church. You know, that's can't wait much later than that to put together a talk or a sermon, but don't be a procrastinator. You know, everyone knows what the procrastinator's motto is. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do the next day. So you just keep making excuses and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So make a commitment to yourself and make a commitment to God to be a disciple and commit to being part of the Christian Covenant community team. You'll benefit from it. You will experience the fruits of the Spirit. You'll experience love, joy, and peace just by being part of this team. Now, in closing, I'm sure you're tired of hearing me babble on, but in closing, our team has lost some of the A-team members. Not that they have died or gone to heaven. That may actually be a good for some reason or another, but the members of the A team are experiencing difficulties in their life. And they're going to be experiencing struggles and things like that. And I ask that you would keep them in your prayer. And just like any team, when the first string players go down, the second and third string players have to step up, help out. I know we all have busy lives, and I all know that there's many things that we could be doing, but kids camp is what, 3 weeks away? 2 weeks away. Less than 2 weeks away, and there's an awful lot of things to do. Now, Jess had his to-do list, and I'm going to ask too. I'm going to try to help out. We're going to get another mower. And anybody knows how to drive a zero turn? Well, we'll have a zero turn here. You know, if somebody knows how to do it. Somebody knows how to do weed whackers. I'm going to try to make more time in my evenings and get home from work and come over. But please reach out to Jess and Micah and everyone else, all of the elders, and offer your time. Maybe you can only come over for an hour some night to help weed a garden. I know that their time is better spent preparing to emphasize the mission and emphasize the preparing their staff, and preparing the discipleship so that kids camp is the experience that it should be for the kids, more so than doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that need to be done. Like I said, we all have tasks or all have things that are we are able to do. So just volunteering an hour of your time, 2 hours of your time if you can, to come over and help. Anybody that knows how to spray herbicide, I'll bring my tank over because after I sprayed yesterday, it all washed away. Okay. So I hope that it stuck. And I'd like to close with a prayer. Father God, this is an exciting time for the Christian Covenant community team. I ask that you look over those A-team members that are struggling and having a difficult time in their lives, that you will see them through that time and that they can come back and be part of our team stronger and better than they were before. Look over our families, look over each and every one of us so that we can find it in our hearts to truly commit to the mission of Kids Camp and be true disciples of you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.